Talking WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. Reminder that if you're listening out there at AM 1570, set a place on your dial for us for the baseball season, the spring season, the Baltimore Positive season, the Maryland Crab Cake Tour season. We're going to begin that thing on Wednesday at Costas. I'll be giving away the Instant Lottery Old Schoolers because it's the 50th anniversary of the Maryland Lottery. We're celebrating. John Martin's going to be with us. Costas is one of the original people that sold lottery tickets 50 years ago. There aren't many of those left. We're starting the celebration at Costas on Wednesday afternoon from 2 until 5. We'll be at Fadley's on Friday, the new arena. We've had some arena memories around here, some wrestling memories, some opening day memories around here this week. Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band in town on Friday, and of course on Saturday, the Eagles. We'll be on Friday morning celebrating the downtown renaissance at Fadley's in the old Lexington Market next to the new Lexington Market. You can check out on Friday morning. I'll be checking out downtown all weekend. Come on back downtown. Great excuses to come downtown with Oriole baseball, Bruce Springsteen, and the legendary Eagles. Speaking of Eagles, Luke Jones, football segment, Darius Slay. There's nothing going on with Lamar. So the only news made over the weekend was that Baker Mayfield turned down the Ravens and Darius Slay turned down the Ravens, right? So, like, it's been very quiet since the weird Arizona press conference last week. But now that sort of the it's quiet around here, other people are talking around the league, and it's fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, the Darius Slay thing, I mean, let's be clear. The Eagles never officially released him. He had requested a trade. It looked like they were going to release him. He said his goodbye. In that period, at some point in time, according to him, and of course the Ravens would deny it because he was under contract still, but we know tampering and back-channel conversations happen all the time in the NFL. But he said he came quite, quote, close to signing with the Ravens, and ultimately the Ravens, according to him, offered him a deal that ultimately Howie Roseman and the Eagles gave him to stay in Philadelphia. So I think it's interesting from the standpoint of it does reflect a willingness, as much as we've talked about Lamar Jackson and this offseason being hijacked or being in a holding pattern, whatever you want to, does reflect that the Ravens are willing to spend and sign the right free agent. And clearly, in their mind, they had some interest in Darius Slay, which, again, the way Marlon Humphrey was tweeting at the time led you to believe that there were some legs to that, even if Eric DaCosta would deny it publicly. But, hey, Slay's back with the Eagles, so it's, you know, it's a moot point anyway. You mentioned Baker Mayfield. I mean, the Ravens had kind of sniffed around some of the veteran quarterbacks who have found chairs elsewhere. I don't think that was something that was shocking necessarily. I don't think they were looking for any of those individuals. You know, they weren't doing that with those individuals being starters in their mind, but just understanding the reality of where they are with their franchise quarterback right now. Beyond that, nothing's really changed with Lamar other than the fact that we know he made a trade offer and he made it public last week. But it's something that's been there for a month now. You know, that was March 2nd. We're now into April. And it does not appear that it made any difference in terms of drumming up interest.
Well, Eric DaCosta can say, I've been trying, dude. I've been trying, you know, like.
Well, I mean, whether he's been trying or not, I mean, the interest isn't there with all the variables in place. Now, if Lamar Jackson were a traditional free agent, there would be teams sniffing around there. I have no doubt, or they should be, quite frankly, because lots of teams have lousy quarterback situations and Lamar's way better than a ton of quarterbacks in this league. You know, I'm stating the obvious there, but with all of the list of circumstances, all of the variables at work, it's led to where we are, which is the Ravens and Lamar continuing to be in this impasse from a contract standpoint and Lamar not finding the necessary interest to get the number that he's looking for, whether it's from another team or whether it's from the Ravens being pressed to step up their offer. So it leads us where we've been for weeks and even months now, which is, you know, Lamar Jackson's only, you know, suitor in terms of the team that wants him the most is the Ravens. And on the flip side, the Ravens haven't been able to get a deal done with Lamar, but you know, what's their alternative at this point? So, you know, I mean, it's not as though, you know, it's easy to say one side or the other wants to move on, or maybe both sides want to move on deep down. But until there's an avenue for that to become possible, we're left talking about the same thing over and over and over again. So it's led to a not very enjoyable off season when Nelson Aguilar is your only outside addition, but it's where the Ravens are, is we're now a few weeks away from the draft. And there's just not a lot of buzz right now as it relates to this fan base. There's not a lot of enthusiasm because they are in this holding pattern where, even if Lamar Jackson's going to be the quarterback in 2023, you then ask the question, well, what have you done to get better? And that's what's frustrating if you're a Baltimore Ravens fan right now.
All right, so draft's 3 weeks away, and they have their picks. Anybody I've talked to smart about the draft, I've had Mike Tenier on, I've JT the Brick. I mean, just people in the league and around the league, people that have been at the owners' meetings, feel like they're going to deal back anyway. Like that number at 22, where they are, if there's not a Lamar deal and they don't have the Colts pick, that. And that's still in play, right? I mean, they still have this dangling quarterback, to your point, that it only takes one owner in whatever way to feel however they feel about draft picks. We don't really know how the Ravens feel, but Dennis and I are pretty strongly in our opinion that they'd like to move on because of all the uncertainty and the overall uncertainty that if they don't sign him, he's not coming in for practices. Nobody believes he's showing up here and throwing a football in a purple practice jersey as things are without some massive movement on the Ravens' part. That's not going to happen before August 30th when he starts to get paid or whatever that date is in late August. So the rest of it, pretend that doesn't exist. I know that's impossible. We haven't done that the last 8 weeks. But just if we're about to have a serious 15-minute conversation about anything else, and I don't know that you and I have. I don't really know that we have. I know we've talked about Aguilar. We know we've talked about Marcus Peters. I know we talked about Calais Campbell. And that's changed. I know we talked about, well, they're going to deal Patrick Queen, and maybe they throw that into the Lamar deal to get something that feels like another draft pick back. Are they throwing the tent in here on Lamar and saying, look, we'll survive a 5, 6, 7 win season, whatever it is this year. Bisciotti, Harbaugh, DaCosta, they're safe. The fans have got tickets, fine. We got Roquan Smith, fine. We have $40 million in cap space, fine. I don't know what that would be, but what else is there oxygen for if we don't talk about Lamar for a couple of minutes?
Well, I mean, I think you just look at the other positions of need they have right now. I mean, Marcus Peters is still out on the market, but he's unsigned. And who's your starting corner opposite Marlon Humphrey at this point? I don't think it's Brandon Stevens. So, you look at the draft there potentially at 22nd overall, obviously wide receiver, which, we've talked about, we'll continue to talk about because that's what we do every year here in Baltimore. Those are the two positions I look to in the first round. As far as your trading back comment, I agree. However, and this has happened in the past where the Ravens, I even knew at the time or usually after the fact that deep down they wanted to move back. And especially this being a year where they only have five picks, they don't have a second round pick. I think they'd certainly like to move back, but you've got to have someone who wants to move up. And that's where you look at this draft class. And certainly there are positions where there is depth or there are intriguing options. But when you have a draft class that maybe doesn't have quite as many of the lucrative upside kind of talents, sometimes it's a little more difficult to do that. So I think they'd like to trade back, but you've got to have someone who wants to do it, right? And that's where you look at it. And you look at the four quarterbacks that have been talked about. Obviously, Bryce Young and he and CJ Stroud are going to go quick. They're going to go quickly. What happens with Anthony Richardson? I think he'll go sooner rather than later. Just going to be a matter of whether it's 1, 2, 3, and Indy tries to move up, assuming they're not in the Lamar Jackson sweepstakes. Will Levis is the interesting one because I think people see some of the raw talents and say, okay, but the production, the fact that he transferred to Kentucky from Penn State and couldn't beat out Sean Clifford at Penn State, there's questions there. So anytime you have a quarterback that potentially slides and lasts a little bit later into the first round, that's then when it becomes interesting if there's a team that wants to try to get that quarterback. So again, that's just one scenario. And look, those four quarterbacks might all be gone in the first eight picks. So, I mean, certainly there are scenarios where that plays out, but if you're the Ravens, yeah, I think you'd like to trade back, but got to have someone who wants to come up. So I don't know if that's necessarily going to come to fruition. And it's impossible to predict that when we have no idea how the first, say, 15 or 20 picks play out as far as how the board unfolds. So, but I think it's obvious when you look at the Ravens right now, they have two, not counting quarterback. And, you know, if we're making the assumption that Lamar, you know, he's their quarterback, he's on the franchise tag right now. So putting that aside, it's corner or wide receiver. So, you know, is it a wide receiver like Zay Flowers? Is it a corner? I mean, Joey Porter's probably not going to last that long, as much as that would be fun seeing the former Steelers son become a Raven. He's a terrific talent. Watched him at Penn State a lot. He can really play. I'm guessing he's going to be long gone by 22. That's my gut. So, you know, the usual suspects will be talked about between now and draft night. But that trade down scenario, I agree with you. But again, you've got to have that right prospect that falls, that team, you know, whoever's picking in the late 20s or moving back into the first round, whatever it is, where they're so hot and bothered to say, we must have that guy. What do you want? And then that's the scenario that you try to take advantage of. So, you know, short of that, you know, you make the pick at 22. Like I said, I'd be not that I would ever say shocked or 100%, because it's the Ravens and they're going to talk about best player available. And there have been instances where they take best player available, even if it's not their biggest need per se. But this being very clear where their roster stands, they need a wide receiver. They need another cornerback. That's obvious. We can talk about edge. We could talk about a guard. There are clearly other positions that you could add to. Defensive line with Calais Campbell having now officially signed with Atlanta, knowing he's not coming back. But the two big ones continue to be wide receiver and corner. And based on where the free agent market is now at this point, other than like an Odell Beckham at wide receiver, you know, options are pretty sparse unless you're going to make a trade. But then we go back to the Ravens don't have a whole lot of draft capital. So it's where it leaves them in this position where DaCosta's going to have to be surgical in terms of how he tries to address this roster, understanding the Lamar Jackson thing hanging over the entire organization right now.
Well, and I do want to point this out, that the Calais Campbell thing, my buddy Rick Ballew, who I work with at Sporting News Radio 20 years ago, has done sports radio and part of the Jacksonville Jaguars team, much like I mentioned Brick earlier, is in Vegas. You know, all part of being legitimate media members. I have these relationships over 30 years that they're trying to take away from me. But the Rick Ballew situation, he called me because Calais Campbell visited down there and said, what did he have left in the tank or whatever? And I kind of had to talk eloquently about Calais Campbell, and I didn't think about him not coming back. And now I think about him not coming back and I think about, dude, he did a lot of contributing around here the last couple of years, and maybe in some sort of quiet way where you don't notice him like a Steve Smith or an Anquan Boldin or one of those veteran guys you bring in here. He was just sort of in there. He's the big old guy. He's the biggest guy, fingers into kicks that he blocks and things like that. But more than that, like, he's a grown ass man. You know, when I walked through that locker room in Pittsburgh, the one time I had a press pass, I went over to him, talked to him, a grown-up, like a guy you want on your football team. I don't know how you replace that, and I think these are sort of the shrapnel in all of this war with Lamar that they can't get their own guys back, and even if they could get them back, they have to ask, what's up with Lamar? I don't want to come back there and play. Now, Calais Campbell signed in Atlanta kind of shocked me. It was about money. I thought he wanted to win a ring. I don't think he's, you know, he feels to me like he's getting paid. And that's okay.
Yeah, he is. Right. He is. I mean, $7 million is the reported full guarantee. I mean, that's what the Ravens didn't want to pay him, right? I mean, they had a base salary, and I want to say it was a roster bonus off the top of my head. I don't have the contract in front of me, but, you know, it was $7 million in new money, and they didn't want to pay him that. They had talked about reworking a deal, you know, whether you turn it into incentives, a straight pay cut, add some void years, whatever you want to do. But we know the Ravens released him 2 days prior to the new league year. I was definitely surprised from the standpoint of, you heard some of the reported interest. I mean, I had even done a radio hit with Jacksonville, and there was a lot of excitement about, you know, the mayor of Saxonville, you know, as he was called when he was there his first time around with the Jaguars, potentially coming back. And knowing that the Jags had made the playoffs last year, I was talking to someone over the weekend that, you know, through some back channels, I had heard that Calais was really interested in joining the Buffalo Bills even. But he winds up in Atlanta. This is where I'll remind, one, it is a business and it's still about money and guaranteed dollars. And Calais Campbell, he's an NFLPA guy. So that's where you do have to keep in mind, if the offers elsewhere were substantially lower than what Atlanta was offering him, then I'm not as surprised. But certainly, I was looking at him. One, I thought there was an outside chance that he could come back with the
I think
Ravens. You
you'll
know, I
regret
thought
doing
that was
that, by
certainly
the way.
possible.
Yeah, I think at the end of the
He
year
might.
when they when, he might regret that.
He might, and not even so much Atlanta as opposed to the Ravens, because again, was he going to have to take substantially less money to be back with the Ravens? But Jacksonville,
I don't know if
Buffalo,
you
you know,
think
there are
of the
some other
Ravens as winning
teams.
a Super Bowl if you're him. I don't think I mean, you know what I mean? Like all things equal, I don't think you just think I'm going to Baltimore right now with their Lamar. And if you love Lamar and you want to play with Lamar, great. If you're wide receiver, you probably don't to some degree, right? But I would say the general feeling, it does Roquan Smith, maybe he does, and maybe Marlon Humphreys is born into here, and right, these guys that have money here, they have to say they're happy to be here. But when you get a chance to sign here and you're Darius Slay and you're like, am I going to win there or am I going to win here? The Ravens aren't a place you're going to win right now. I mean that as a fan, as a journalist, as I just if I'm looking at it and flying in as a 37-year-old football player and saying, is this year the year for the Ravens? No bueno. Not right here, right now, and not even if Lamar gets his money and he's happy and he's back. I'm still not convinced that they don't have the fifth or sixth best quarterback in the conference if they sign Lamar at this point because of what I've seen of these other players.
Okay, I'll push back on the last sentiment. I mean, if they sign him long term, you can lower the cap figure. Look, you're still even if you think he's fifth or sixth. I mean, Joe Flacco was never the best quarterback in the AFC. You know, and this team does have a really good defense. You know, what else can you do? Do you hit on a wide receiver? But your initial point, there is a lot of uncertainty. There's no question about that. And that's where you look at it and say, is Lamar going to be here? One factor that we've talked about as far as wide receivers, and not that the Ravens have necessarily been in that market because it was a very tepid, very underwhelming wide receiver free agent market, but you're talking about individuals where they look at that situation and say, okay, unless you're going to really overpay me, which we know the Ravens, they don't pay wide receivers, whether they've been right or wrong about that, that's fact. I mean, when was the last wide receiver that they really paid? It was Anquan Boldin, or I guess they tried to pay Ryan Grant. In that fiasco in 2018, the guy who flunked his physical, but I think you just look at it. If you're one of those other wide receivers, I don't even think it's so much the don't want to play with Lamar Jackson thing. I still think that was much more a Greg Roman thing, and Greg Roman's not here anymore. So you could even say, you just asked though, is Lamar going to be here? Like, is he going to be here? Or are you guys going to trade him, or is he going to not show up? So it does knock them down a couple pegs in that way. Not to the point where they're bad. They still have a really good roster in most areas on either side of the ball. So it's not as though they have nothing going for them. But when your quarterback situation is unsettled and it's perceived to be holding up the rest of your attempts to roster build, when Nelson Aguilar is the one outside addition you've made, and we're now into April. I mean, come on now. How can you not look at that and look at the Ravens right now and say, you're either, the John Harbaugh always likes to say it, and Bo Schembechler and others have said this too, but you're either getting better or you're getting worse, right? How could you look at the Ravens at this offseason and say in any shape or form that they're getting better? You know, just look at the, not that they've lost a ton of players that you say would kill them, but they've lost players and they've added one. So,
Well, that would
yeah.
be why I'm saying if I'm looking at or I'm an agent directing a player at that at a tender point in their career about winning, not about
Sure.
making money. I mean, Nelson Aguilar for
He needs a
like
job,
he
right?
needs a job, right?
Yeah.
And like and they gave him a job and that's great. Well, whoever the quarterback is, he's happy. And they're going to have these draft picks that come in here that kind of have to come and play. But recruiting players, and they've had a hard time recruiting wide receivers, as we've talked about in this offense. They've had a hard time recruiting players in a general sense because they haven't had a lot of money. They're never a money team out trying to sign some other team's Von Miller. You know, I mean, they've never been that franchise. I don't know that they're about to be that franchise, but they're about to have some money if Lamar's not here. If whatever transpires that he's not here, and I know you think he's stuck here and we'll have to come back and play and have to make nice and have to figure it out. I think we're getting closer to that. I don't even know the odds. We'll have to play that out after the draft as far as this non-exclusive franchise tag and two number ones and a one in 24 and 25 instead, and who it could be and what the odds are and all that. But it keeps me up at night. I'm up at night thinking, like, how's this really going to play out? You know, and I'm writing about the owners this week. I'm writing about little John running around with, you know, being the baseball owner and doing media and Big Shoddy off on his boat hiding and all the mess around the Ravens and this weird energy around the Orioles this time of year, at least for the time being. And, you know, until somebody gets hurt with the Orioles or Adley Rutschman goes to the Hall of Fame. But it's a fascinating time to see the Ravens in sort of this murky, mysterious place, and the Calais Campbell signing, to your point, taking the money, PA guy here, all that. But, like, is this attractive anymore? Is this a place you feel like I can go and win right here, right now? And it's not right here, right now, this minute. Maybe it is with a happy Lamar or a quarterback of some ilk, but they're a long way away from that right now. And this is the strangest offseason that we've had, you and I talking about this in 15 years, I think.
Yeah, it's very strange. And, I mean, it's tough. What do you hang your hat on right now? Again, they've got plenty of positions on the roster where they're in good shape, right? They've got one of the very best tight ends in the NFL. Ronnie Stanley finished the year healthy, and he kind of looked like Ronnie Stanley, especially as he played more and more last season. So you're happy about that. You've got Linderbaum at center. That looks like that was a successful first round pick, you know, regardless of trading Marquise Brown in order to do it. So, you know, you go down the list.
The running back, it looks like he's healthy again, maybe,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think the interesting thing with that is Dobbins and Edwards are both in a contract year. So that's interesting. But yeah, on paper, so it's not as though the cupboard is entirely bare. But
well, if you believe in Bateman too, I mean, let's play positive here. I mean, I've always had purple goggles. You know, Bateman's a number one who looked like a decent player, got hurt. Give him the benefit of the doubt. His name's not Perryman or Taylor or any of the guys from 30 years. You know, maybe he comes back and will look like an 80 reception guy in this offense if this offense throws the football in a way that doesn't look like Lamar left, Lamar right, running the ball 15, 18 times a game.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I like Rashad Bateman's potential, but he's got to stay on the field. But you're right. And look, that's not, you know, you can't do what you did last year where all of your eggs are in the Bateman basket, but that doesn't mean that you're not counting on them this year. So, yeah, and the defense corner is a legit question opposite Marlon Humphrey. You've got to do that, whether it's going to be the draft, whether it's bringing back Marcus Peters. You know, so you have – and look, those are two really important positions, wide receiver and corner. You know, those are premium positions. So I'm not trying to make light of that, but – it's
so is Edge, by the
roster
way, and they got to get somebody to get after the quarterback because they don't have that yet, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's time to go for Owe and David Ajabo. I mean, first round, second round, and Ajabo was a first round talent who got hurt. It's time to go. Like, they need those guys to be good. They need them to be really good. Otherwise, they're failed, unsuccessful picks, and then that falls back on scouting.
Dude,
and
if
Eric
all
Acosta,
of these guys stink, they're going to stink, right? If Bateman stinks, for real, you know, Queen looked better, right? But these ones have to, like, they have to bake. We can't be waiting on Mark Andrews and Orlando Browns and tackles that are going to wind up getting $50 million someplace else, or guards that, you know, aren't going to be here long term anyway. At some point, the ones, to your point, we took away. You know what I mean? We used draft capital on you. That cake has to bake. And whoever they draft here, they got to get draft eligible players. The end. These players have to come in and play, and that's hard.
Yeah, their first round, assuming they don't trade back. And again, you have to have a team that wants to trade up in order for that to happen. But their first round pick needs to be someone that makes an impact. There's no doubt about it. And their third round pick needs to at least be in that mix, right? At least be part of some meaningful depth for you. You know, you never count on a third rounder to start year one, but it's got to be someone that isn't just riding the pine and is a non-factor. So, you know, I don't think they're, let's be clear. If Lamar is not their quarterback, then, I mean, I don't even know what we're even talking about here. They're, you know, can they contend for the number seven seed in the AFC? Maybe, sure. What's that getting you? I don't know, but my point is this roster is not terrible by any stretch of the imagination or anything like that. But what you just mentioned, some of these young guys, if you're talking about your upside, if you're talking about moving up in the pecking order from wherever you think they are right now, seventh, sixth, fifth, whatever it is, with the caveat of Lamar being the wild card as far
Beating
as.
Joe Burrow once during the regular season and having a chance to do it in January. That's really the barometer here,
Well,
right?
and in fairness, they did that with Tyler Huntley even as their quarterback. So, what does that tell you? I don't know.
But they
So,
also did it with Calais Campbell and, on and on
sure.
and on with
Sure.
players that
Sure,
played.
sure, sure. So, I mean, there's just a lot of uncertainty right now. And look, I don't think this team, even if they don't have Lamar, I don't know if they're bad enough that they're going 3-14 either.
Yeah,
But
they won't be in the number one
clearly, if
sweepstakes for next year's quarterback unless they really tank it all, right?
I think that's going to be tough just because you've got enough good players in other spots to avoid that happening. Which, look, we can debate whether that's a good thing or not because you don't want to be in that purgatory standpoint of where if you're picking 15th, you're still not going to get a franchise quarterback.
Believe me,
So,
as a Ravens fan, we've had the opportunity that some like Browns fans we've had we could yell, we suck less. Because you know what I mean? Like, we've never picked one. We've picked four, but we've never picked one. There's a whole different level to how you get that quarterback. And Steve Bisciotti and John Harbaugh and Eric DaCosta probably don't want any part of that.
Well, and that's what's tough about it. And that's why I continue to push back on notions that they're done with Lamar. Look, I think if a team came calling and gave them a really attractive package that they wouldn't trade Lamar, I think they would under that scenario. But who is that team? I mean, we could
I don't
keep,
think anybody's going to give
and
him
this is.
anything because no one wants to give him $200 million. It's not about the draft picks.
Well,
It's about they can't. If I'm really, people ask me on the
it's all
street about
those
why
things.
it's not happening, I would say it's not about the draft picks. It's not about Jim Irsay. It's about $200 million in the union and the original sin in the Garden of Eden, and that's it. The owners aren't going to guarantee him that money after not playing football the last 2 years, no matter what the Browns did for Deshaun, and therefore. That is the stalemate. I don't think there's any coming back tail between his legs and taking 138 of guaranteed money for 3 years here and hitting the market. I don't think the union wants him to do that. I think if he was set up to do that, he would have done that a long time ago.
Yeah, I mean, I've said all along, I'm not going to try to assume what Lamar Jackson's going to do because there are lots of elements of this that, that I've disagreed with from his standpoint. Even just from a standpoint of if you run the fully guaranteed deal, I said over and over to me, the time to make that play was last summer, before he had a second straight year where he finished with an injury. And wasn't able to finish the season. And now people talk about that more and more. But it's all of those variables tied in together. And look, we can sit here as fans or media, and my goodness, you see a ton of it, especially a ton of former players just saying over and over again, the Ravens need to give Lamar what he wants. But, they're disrespecting him, yada, yada, yada. All the conjecture and all the opinions that we hear. And look, everyone's entitled to their opinion. But the reality is, other than saying, okay, oh, it only takes one team, and we've all said that, and I've said that too. But until that's there, this is what it is. He has, we assume, the Ravens' last offer to him, whatever that might have been, at some point earlier this offseason, and he's hoping, and certainly announcing his trade request, making that public 2.5 weeks after he had done that, him tweeting that out last week. He's hoping to drum up some interest, whether it's to leave, whether it's truly him wanting out, or whether it's just to push the Ravens to up their offer. And until that happens, we can all sit here and say that he deserves this or he's better than Deshaun Watson and going through and look, those things can be true, but it's dictated by the market. And the market is made is. The silence is deafening right now, right? I mean, it really is, in terms of what he's asking for, in terms of the trade compensation, in terms of a lack of an agent, in terms of the injuries the last couple of years, in terms of going all the way back to pre-draft perceptions of him, as far as how many teams passed on him on draft night. Now, how many of those teams were wrong? How many of those teams would have made a really smart decision by drafting Lamar back in 2018 and doing what the Ravens did over the last 5 years? Absolutely, there are teams that should have done that. But we all have our biases and, people that can't get out of their own way. There are franchises that you pull back the curtain and you see why they haven't had any success for decades. But we can list all those different factors. The reality is Lamar Jackson doesn't have anyone else that's seriously sniffing around him at this point, unless they have been so sneaky about it that they are completely under the radar. We can keep pointing to Indy, but well, Jim Irsay said what he said. Chris Ballard has said what he said. And until they do something, and let's be clear, as we're getting closer and closer to the draft, even if they have some designs of pursuing Lamar Jackson, closer we get to the draft, the more it makes sense for them to say, well, we'll wait. And then we'll give up, we'll do our full court press and try to give up the 2024 and 2025, which if Lamar Jackson's our quarterback, we're probably not going to be picking fourth overall. So, and even if you're not a huge Lamar fan, he's won every team he's played on, he's won in the NFL and won a lot as a Baltimore Raven. So that's where you just keep looking at this thing and saying, what's going to change? I think when he tweeted out his trade request, the news of that, I think there was this shock. There was this unsettling feeling. There was this, oh my gosh, the you know what's getting ready to hit the fan. But then you process it for a few hours and you realize, how is that really all that different than the non-exclusive offer sheet process? It's the same thing really, other than just saying, okay, maybe we can forego that by just trading with the Ravens and acquiring his rights after he signs the tag. Other than that, we're kind of just in the same place that we've been in. And we're waiting for tweets and updates from Lamar or anything else to happen. And it's just been a whole lot of nothing as it pertains to teams really looking like they're after him. And again, does that change as we get closer to the draft or maybe get on the other side? Hypothetically, it could. But again, how are teams clearing the necessary cap space this deep into the offseason in order to do that? I think that element is something that a lot of people have undersold in terms of the challenge of doing that. So can it be done? Sure. I'm not going to say it's impossible, but with each day, I just keep asking, who's the suitor? Who's changing the narrative here? And that's where I just keep coming back to Lamar and the Ravens kind of, for lack of a better term, being stuck with one another, whether one or both sides would much prefer moving on. If they're being honest.
Luke Jones is here. He will be there at Oriole Park at Camden Yards on Thursday. We will be at Costas on Wednesday doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. I'll have these instant lottery scratch-offs to give away to everybody at Costas again on Friday at Fadley's in the morning, getting ready for the opening of the arena and Bruce Springsteen and the Eagles, not the Philadelphia Eagles, the Eagles that I like, the Don Henley Eagles, the Joe Walsh Eagles. So Vince Gill's going to be in town. I talked to Barry Trotz last week about some country music and Nashville and all that stuff. Man, the arena's going to be alive. Janet Jackson, Anita Baker, Brian Adams, Joan Jett, John Mayer, Adam Sandler, Blink-182, all this great stuff coming downtown. We'll be celebrating that. The Lexington Market, the New Market, the Old Market, lots of great Baltimore positive stuff going on here this week, all of presented by our friends as well at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. Now 5 years, 0% financing. Get in on it. That's the 60 months, 5 years. That's a better deal than they gave me last summer. Maybe I should have waited till April to get mine, but you can get them right now, 866-90-NATION. Make sure you're checking that out. We got lots of great things happening around here, including the Maryland Crab Cake Tour at Pappas in Bel Air on the 13th, and then on the 27th, we'll be back downtown at Captain Larry's down on Ford Avenue. I've heard great things about their crab cake and Mara down there, and our friends Vicky, and it'll be good. This is going to be a good month around here. Orioles playing every day, every other day, at least till it rains. We got Adley Rutschman fever. We have the greatest controversy in the history of controversies with the Ravens that we're following all of that. And for some of you, it's even lacrosse season. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive. Stay with us.